Good morning. Welcome to Facebook Live. Welcome to Standale Baptist Church. We're glad that you're joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're happy to have you here with us in the library or the conference room of our church. We're happy to be with you in your living room or family room or wherever you are listening to this lesson that we have for you today. I know that our congregation is faithfully listening in, and we know that there are others that are listening to these lessons too as well. We're glad that you're joining us along with our church family. At this time, we're going to open our time in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share a few announcements. Let's bow our heads and go to our Heavenly Father. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being together as your covenant people. We're happy to be able to spend this time together in such an unusual way in regards to this pandemic that is going across the land of America. Lord, it has forced many of our churches to do these live streams to their congregations, and that includes us. And we're here to do our very best in communicating God's word to our people right there in their homes. And so, Father, we ask for your help as we carry on this special ministry. And Father, we also pray for our sister churches that are doing the same thing that we are doing all across our land. Father, we're thankful for the preaching and teaching of your word that is going forth. And Father, we're so happy that there are many who are unchurched that are listening to messages as well. And we're thankful for that. And it's our prayer that many people will get into your word and seek to understand what the gospel is all about and seek to understand its meaning and implication for their lives. We just ask your blessing on this hour that you have given us. And Lord, as a result, just may you fill our hearts with joy. Just may it be a blessing to have spent this hour together. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we do have a few announcements to share with you. As you are well aware, our services are canceled through April 30th. I don't know what May will hold for us, but if there are any changes, we will get with you as soon as possible. I know that our leadership met this past Monday night, and we talked about what it will be like when we do open up. I know that there'll be some changes that will need to take place as we regather to meet in this church campus. So we will share those things with you prior to our gathering together for our first service back here in the church. Also, I want to share with you that there are a few cancellations. As I mentioned to you last week, our ladies' brunch is canceled, which was scheduled for the first part of May. And then also the National Day of Prayer, which I put together for our city, has been canceled. Shall we say it's been postponed? I spoke with the mayor this week, and we're looking to do something special after this pandemic is passed through our system here. And we're looking forward to doing something special, maybe a city day of prayer, and getting our area churches together at the city offices and just having a celebratory time, a time before God where we just humble ourselves and go to him in prayer. So you be thinking about that, be praying about that, but still, National Day of Prayer is scheduled for May 7th. It's always the first Thursday in May. It's takes place at noon, and you might want to mark your calendar, set your alarm clock on your phone to take that time and pray. Pray for those who have been affected by this pandemic. Pray for the unemployed. Pray for those that have lost loved ones through this. There are just so many things that we can pray about. So please take that time to pray. Also, we do thank you for your online giving. We thank you for mailing in your tithes and offerings. We're meeting our budget, and we're very encouraged and pleased by your generosity. You have been a very giving church through the years, and we haven't had to browbeat you or anything. You folks just give, and you're just a wonderful giving congregation. So avail yourself, in other words, to those options that are out there for you. Also, the new app that we have called FlockNote, it's a wonderful opportunity for you to receive communication from us. So please access that through your computer by going to flocknote.com or .org. And also, you can download the app to your smartphone. So it's available for you. And I think most of you have done that. And if there are some attendees of our church that like to be connected to our congregation, you're welcome to access it too as well. Well, it's a wonderful time to be with you this morning, and Brother James Golden is going to come and play some music here next. I really appreciate James and his family. We have limited our services just to myself and to James due to this stay-at-home mandate that has been issued by our governor, so we're trying to keep things as safe as we can, but we're glad to have James's giftedness, and here he is to sing a hymn for you this morning.
Good morning, church. This first song we're going to sing is called The Father's Love. Let's sing it together.
How has the sinner been forgiven? How has the rebel been made clean? All blinded eyes been made to see? How have the orphans been adopted? Who hated your love and ran from grace? Despised and rejected all your ways? How wonderful the Father's love for us. That he would send his only son to come and rescue us. Well, he has saved us, called us blameless, guides us now and will sustain us. Oh, how wonderful the Father's love. Your mercy floods our lives with kindness. Your grace has colored all we see, and you have promised not to leave. You freely give your Spirit to us, so we can be sure we're sons of God, rest in the hope of what's to come. How wonderful the Father's love for us. That he would send his only son to come and rescue us. Well, he has saved us, called us blameless, guides us now and will sustain us. Oh, how wonderful the Father's love. Those sufferings, they fill our lives. We're confident, we're heirs with Christ. So we cry, Abba, Father. Those sufferings, they fill our lives. We're confident, we're heirs of Christ. And so we cry, Abba, Father. How wonderful the Father's love for us. That he would send his only son to come and rescue us. Well, he has saved us, called us blameless, guides us now and will sustain us. Oh, how wonderful the Father's love.
Amen.
Okay, thank you very much, James. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 23, which is actually a prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. It's probably one of my favorite prayers of the 15 prayers that are found in the New Testament communicated by the Apostle Paul. The question I want to ask you this morning is, what is God's power like in the believer's everyday life? Well, if you take some moments and just reflect upon that question a few minutes, I think some things will come out, will come forward from your thoughts concerning the power of God in your life. First of all, we see the power of God in nature. It doesn't take long to think about some of the hymns that have reminded us of the nature of God, that he has displayed so wondrously all around us, and we grew up singing those wonderful hymns. The hymn writer speaks of thy power throughout the universe displayed. You know, I marvel at thunderstorms or at storms that loom from a distance and come waving into our area, especially when I'm back home on our farm in Iowa. It's just a wonderful thing to sit on the porch and to watch them come from a distance. It's like an orchestration that is coming, and you hear the thunder and the rumble, and to me, it's just awesome to see the mighty power of God in such a thing. And just recently, we had a new pink moon. I don't know if any of you got out and to see that. I was able to see it one morning as I was leaving to come here to the church. It was still night, it was dark, and I was able to see it. And yes, it was big, and it had a pink hue to it. It was absolutely beautiful. And then the blossoming spring that we're seeing here in western Michigan is just absolutely astonishing to once again see these bushes and flowers coming up. And it is wonderful to see spring arriving once again. Sometimes the winters can get kind of long here in Michigan, but most of us that live here do enjoy the four seasons. We also see the power of God in answered prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 talks about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And our congregation has seen some awesome answers to prayer in the recent weeks concerning a few folks that have gone through the valley of the shadow of death. And we have seen God raise these individuals up, and it has just blessed our hearts and has left us praising and thanking him for such wonderful answers to prayer. And we have seen the power of God through changed lives. I've been a pastor for a number of years now, and one passage that has encouraged me so much, a particular verse in that passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. And Paul says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when I think of that passage, every time I read that passage, I'm reminded of what God did in my own life in bringing about a new creation within me and changing my life completely. And I think about those that I have shepherded over the years, those that I've had the privilege of sitting down and sharing the gospel with and seeing them trust Christ, and then having the privilege over the years to see how God changes their lives. It's just absolutely amazing to see the power of God in a changed life. And then we also see the power of God in daily victories. It's wonderful to see people living above their circumstances. I've known so many people going through difficult circumstances, and to see them rise above those circumstances and to walk by faith, trusting God in the midst of some horrendous difficulties that they have gone through as individuals or as families. And then it's amazing to see God work through ministry. It's a blessing to see the power of God in a local church. Here is Christ's words. He said that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he's speaking of the time of Pentecost when God would pour out his Spirit, and that was the birth of the church. And since that day, the power of God has been evident in the church of Jesus Christ. The power of God has been evident in this local church. And we're excited to see what God is doing in our own congregation. Yet many believers don't fully appreciate or appropriate the empowerment of God in their everyday lives. Paul devotes the last paragraph here of Ephesians chapter 1 in describing the divine empowerment that is ours from four different vantages. And this morning we're going to take a look at how God enlightens our eyes so that we can better understand the exceeding greatness of his power. And that is my prayer for my congregation, that they might have their eyes enlightened, that they might see the exceeding greatness of God's power in their personal lives, in their family life, in our congregational life. And those of you who are not a part of this congregation, my prayer is that you'll see that power in your own life too as well. And as we listen to what I want to share with you this morning, we see that that power comes to us through what Jesus Christ accomplished for us through his, not only his sacrificial death, but his resurrection and his ascension unto the Father. Well, we'll see this empowerment that the Apostle Paul shares with us from four vantage points. And this morning, we're going to look at this empowerment to the believers through Christ's resurrection, his exaltation, his lordship, and his headship. And these are all mentioned clearly in this section of Scripture that I want you to look at here with me today. First, let's consider what Paul has to say concerning the power of Christ's resurrection. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me again to Ephesians chapter 1 and follow along as I read verses 15 through 20. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Well, it's interesting in this passage that in verse 19 that Paul uses four different Greek synonyms to emphasize the greatness of the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and we spoke about that event, the most important event in redemptive history. Everything in the Old Testament and in the Gospels led up to it. Well, we're continuing by looking at the after effect of that and what that brings to us as believers, the empowerment that brings to us. And the first point here has to deal with the greatness of Christ's resurrection power. And these four synonyms emphasize the greatness of Christ's resurrection power. The first word, power, is the Greek word dunamis. It is where we get our Greek word dynamite. This power is, as Paul writes, is towards believers. It is power that is ours. It is power that is directed to you and to me. The exceeding greatness of God's power is given to every believer. When we were saved, we received God's grace and all the power that assures us of our eternal hope. The second Greek word is the word energeia, which is translated in our English Bible as working. Our English word energy comes from this Greek word. It is the energizing force of the Holy Spirit that empowers believers to live out their faith, to live out their walk with God. It is the working out of our salvation in fear and trembling. The third word is the word iskus, which is translated mighty in verse 19. It carries the idea of endowment of power or ability. We find here that Paul is communicating here various words to describe here just how empowered we are as a result of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. The fourth word is kratos, which is translated in our English Bible as power. But this is a different word in the Greek than the first occurrence of power. It can be found translated in our English Bibles as dominion or strength. It's important for us to understand that these words are words that communicate just how empowered we are as believers in Jesus, just how empowered we are as a result of the resurrection that took place in the life of Jesus Christ. And as a result, we can be overcomers. We can overcome whatever is going on in our lives that get us down, whatever is going on in our lives that trip us up, whatever mountain is ahead of us that we think is too high for us to overcome. We have the endowment, we have the empowerment of Almighty God to be overcomers, to get through those obstacles in life. It is the power that raised Christ from the dead, that power that regenerated us into newness of life, that empowers us to live out the Christian life, that empowers us to one day rise from the dead when we die. It's an incredible thing to think about, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been directed towards you and me as believers in Jesus. How often I have stood next to a casket and I've looked down at the deceased and I often thought, oh, how I wish I could just touch the body and see that individual, that loved one, just rise up out of that casket and climb out. But I cannot do it. And you cannot do it. And we've all have had loved ones that have passed away and the sorrow. And some of you maybe most recently have had loved ones pass away. And it's gut-wrenching, and it just tears your heart out. But listen, for the believer, there's hope. For the believer, there is tremendous hope. But because of Christ's resurrection, for us at the moment of death, to be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. But our soul goes to be with Christ in heaven, but one day our resurrected body will be united with our soul. And there's many promises of that in the scripture. For instance, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Wow, what a promise that is. Once we are dead and placed in a coffin and placed in the ground, listen, there is a resurrection call one day coming, and we will rise from the dead, and we will receive a glorified body, just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our glorified body will be united with our soul. What a blessing that will be. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. What an awesome thought to, to know that we'll be raised up to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. That same power that raised Jesus from the grave is there to change our lives. It's there to answer our prayers. It's there to resolve our difficulties. It's there to ultimately give us immortality. I don't know if those that are listening, some of you maybe do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I encourage you today, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give you immortality. He's the only one that can save your soul. He's the only one that can instill in you the resurrection power that will one day raise your body, glorify it. What a privilege it is to know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, Paul communicates to us the power of Christ's exaltation. And let's take a look at verse 19 and 20. We find it here at the end of verse 20, but let's back up, starting with verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Now listen to these words. And seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Boy, I like that. And seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. After Christ's resurrection, he ascended to be exalted, to be lifted up, to be seated at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Listen, if we had a telescope that could zoom into what we call the third heaven and to be able to see in the throne room of Almighty God, we would see our Lord and Savior seated at the right hand of God the Father. We would see him sitting on a throne, exalted in layers of light, surrounded by myriads of angels and just emanating with glory and glory and glory. What an awesome thought. There are numerous passages which speak of Christ sitting at the right hand of Father. As I speak, a position of par equality, a position of co-regency with the Father. As Jesus shared with us when he was here upon the earth, I and my Father are one. And so that is true. But listen to some of these passages. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Think about it. Christ is praying for you and for me as believers. He's interceding for us, even now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's amazing when we read some of these passages, they're written in the past tense, meaning that from God's perspective, they're a done deal. God sees us as reigning with Jesus even now, as seated with Jesus even now. That's the surety of a person's salvation in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Again, looking at it from the past tense. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, speaking of Christ and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. What happened next? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And then Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, one of my favorite passages, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, speaking of Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Listen, brothers and sisters, Jesus has ascended to the Father, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And what a blessing it is to know the power that exalted Christ is within us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that power can change your life, that power can answer your prayers, and that power is available to give you that inner strength to walk the walk, to live by faith, to be salt and light here upon this earth, to do those things that God has called us to do and to be as his people. Also, the ascension power, the divine energy that lifted Christ from the grave to the earth and from the earth to the heavens, is the same power that will one day lift us all into glory. And what a thought that will be. You know, those of us who are believers, this earth is simply a temporary place that we're living. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And every day I get closer to glory, I think more and more about that new heavens and that new earth and that new city, the new Jerusalem, where we will spend all eternity together. Listen, what a blessed thought to know that this is where we will be dwelling with our Lord and Savior for all eternity. And it's that resurrection power that brings that to us. And it's that power of his ascension that will lift us all up, and we will find ourselves there for all eternity. Well, thirdly, we see in this passage the power of Christ's lordship. His lordship. Please look with me at verse 21. The Apostle Paul goes on to say that Jesus is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Christ is higher than the angels. Go to the book of Hebrews, the first few chapters, and it will tell you just how much higher than the angels he is. He is greater than all the demons. Go to the Gospels and read how Christ has power over the demonic spirits. He is over all the entire universe. There is nothing that is over him in power. Everything is under him. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For by him all things were created that are in the earth, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." Listen, Christ has no equal and he has no rivals. That's just who he is. He is supreme over every created thing. The lordship power of Christ is the same power that is available to meet your need and to meet my need. It's the same resurrection power. It's the same ascension power. It is the same lordship power that is with every single believer day by day and with each passing moment. Well, with what a great blessing it is to take time to just set aside the daily concerns that we have and that seem to trip us up and consume our energies and our thoughts and our worries, and just take this world's pandemic, what's going on in the United States, what's going on in Michigan, or whatever's going on in your state, and just set it aside for now, and don't worry about it, and focus on the glory of Christ. Focus on the glory of Christ. I encourage you to read the Gospels and see the glory of Christ and let the glory of Christ just infiltrate your heart, and just lift up your spirit, and see the power of his resurrection, and see the power of his exaltation, and see the power of his lordship. Oh, dear believer, there's so much power that's been endued upon us that is there awaiting for us to grab a hold of and allow the Spirit of God to lead us and to strengthen us. We need to be led by him. To be led by him is life and peace. To be led by the flesh is sadly death. We must allow the Holy Spirit to do in us what Paul asked the Spirit to do in the Ephesian believers that received this ancient letter so long ago. And he wanted them to have a deep understanding of the truth that our Lord is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. I'm focusing in on this age. This is where we're living right now. Listen, Jesus is supreme. There's no one higher than he is. He is Lord of Lords in this period of redemptive history in which we are living. And that's true over the entire universe, over the entire earth, over every nation of the world, over the United States of America, over our political leaders, and sometimes how crazy they make us. Listen, Jesus is Lord over them. But let me tell you, it comes very personal. He's Lord over your life, and he's Lord over my life. And we need to submit to his lordship. We need to submit to his lordship. Well, in this particular verse I just read to you, the word principality could be translated authorities. Listen, Christ is above them all. All earthly and spiritual authorities, whether they're good or evil, or heaven or hell, Jesus is above them all. The word power here is even a third word in the Greek. And its root word means wealth. And I think of the old hymn that we sing in our church occasionally. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every land. Listen, there is no one richer than our Lord Jesus Christ. And what an awesome thought to think that all the riches that we have in Christ, what we have inherited through him. Read the first half of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and you'll learn about that inheritance. It's yours. It's mine because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word might is a Greek word here that is that word that is translated in the English called dynamite. In the Greek, it's dunamis. It has to do with the great power that Jesus has. There's no greater power than he has in earth or in heaven or in your life. Or mine. The word dominion means lordship. It refers to the fact that Jesus is Lord of Lords, and he's referred to that title several times in the Bible. Is Jesus Christ Lord in your life? Or is he something that you occasionally think about from time to time? Do you treat him like a hobby that you get off your shelf and you work on an hour here or an hour there? Listen, Jesus needs to have preeminence in your life. He needs to be central in every aspect of your life, not having a certain pie section in your life. He needs to be the heart of every section of your life. And you can make him that by receiving him as your Lord and Savior. Lastly, we see in this passage the power of his headship. The power of his headship. We see this in verse 21 and 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Because we are believers, we are the church, which is his body. Now, we have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unique. We are described as his body, and he is the head of that body. It's kind of like a physical body. We have heads, and we have the bottom part, which is the body, and the head directs the rest of the body kind of what to do. And that's exactly how Jesus ministers spiritually in his spiritual body. And right now, believers are part of this body. It's called the universal church. And you are a part of it if you're a believer. I'm a part of it as a believer. And it doesn't matter where you are. If you are a believer listening to this, you're a part of that universal church. Sadly to say, some people only understand church as a building with a steeple. Yes, we call that a church. And people say that Sunday I'm going to church, and or they drive by a building and they say, that's my church. But let me tell you, what the scripture talks about most of the time is that universal church. Yes, there are visible locales of that universal church located in the New Testament. Letters were written by the Apostle Paul to specific churches. This letter in Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. But listen, that universal church is only made up of true believers in Christ. True believers in Christ. And this means that every believer that is a part of that universal church, you have a living connection with its head, Jesus Christ. And it's from that head that the body moves and has its being, that functions in this world. It's a wonderful thing to think about, that through the Holy Spirit, we are united to Christ, or we're united to him as members of his body. And this means that we share in his resurrection, his ascension, and also his exaltation. We too are seated in the heavenlies, as we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, where Paul writes, positionally, God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sometimes I park myself at such passages and think about the fact that here I am, Pastor John, here upon this earth, maybe sitting in my study, reading my Bible, or just taking a pause from prayer, and thinking, here I am upon this earth, living out my Christian life, but there's an aspect of me, spiritually, that is with Jesus Christ right now in his presence. I've been raised with Jesus. When he ascended to the Father, there was an aspect of me that is represented there with him. I tell you, how much more assurance do you need? Boy, it's the kind of assurance that gets me going every morning when I wake up, that turns my crank and gets my motor running. It just excites me that I have that kind of assurance from God that I am loved by him because of the power of the resurrection, and because of the power of the ascension, and because of the power of our Savior's lordship, and because of the headship of our Lord Jesus Christ. These words ought to encourage all of us, because the higher the honor of Christ, the head, the higher the honor of his people. And there's no higher honor than that Christ can receive. And that's where we are with him, positionally. And one day we'll be there with him in a most magnificent way, with glorified bodies. Christ is the head of his church. He's the good, the great, and the chief shepherd of his sheep. He is also that great high priest who's interceding on our behalf. Until we get there, he's praying for us. He's interceding for us. Imagine that. God's looking out for you in such a special and unique way. And not only God the Son, but also God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 is making intercession on your behalf with groanings that cannot even be uttered. It's a heavenly language that we don't even understand. Even when we don't know how to pray, there's prayer intercession being made for you and for me. The work that Christ does in this world, he does through his church. God is working in this world through you and me, his body that remains here upon this earth. The parts of my body are useless unless directed by my brain or my head, so Christ the head is working through you and me to bring about his will upon this earth. How many of you believers out there are pew potatoes? You just kind of sit in the pew, and you really don't do a whole lot. You're not getting involved. My congregation, boy, I praise God. I go down through the directory a number of times a year, and I just ask myself, well, what is this individual doing, or what is this family doing? And let me tell you, there's a high percentage of the congregation that's involved in ministry. And I praise God as a pastor all the time for their involvement in this church. They're serving, they're giving, they're doing all kinds of things. And I'm just blessed as a pastor. But those of you who are listening that attend another church, are you serving? Are you giving? Are you faithfully attending? If not, you need to get involved if you call yourself a believer, because it's one of the chief characteristics of a child of God to be about your Father's business, to do the work of the ministry. And so I encourage you to get back at it. I know that there's a pandemic, and I know there's a stay-at-home mandate that's out there for us, but you can start praying for your brothers and sisters. You can start praying for those that you want to see come to trust Christ. You can start making phone calls. You know, I'm kind of trapped at the church and at home, but I make phone calls to people in my congregation and to others. Make calls. Reach out with the gospel. Well, are you living the supernatural, empowered life that God has destined you to live? The empowerment that is made possible by his resurrection, his exaltation, his lordship, and his headship. It is his power that is present within every believer that can change our lives, that can answer our prayers, that can resolve our difficulties, and that can give us righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. I tell you, grab a hold of the power that's already resident within you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and allow the Spirit of God to lead you. I want to close with a brief story about my life. You know, I finished the last 2 years of high school searching and looking for a good time and searching for happiness to life. There were several times that I just sensed an emptiness inside my life that just couldn't be filled with all that I was trying to fill it with. And so I visited several pastors in the area, three different pastors from three different denominations. And I sat down with them, and I opened up my heart, and I shared with them and said to each one of them, "Pastor, I just feel that there's an emptiness in my life, and I need to fill it with something, and I think it has to do with religion, and can you help me and encourage me?" And, you know, all three of them said, "Well, you come to my church and you get involved with my youth group, and essentially everything will be okay." You know, not one of them sat down with me and opened up the scriptures. Not one of them. Not one of them. And I didn't realize how terrible that was until after I became a believer. But not one of them opened up the scriptures. And so I left those meetings and still searching somewhat. But I came to a point where I just gave up. And I said to God, I said, God, I believe you're out there. But I believe that no one can really know you personally. So I ended up in college. And there I ended up getting involved in the party scene. But that only left me with headaches on Monday morning. And that emptiness just kind of grew and grew. It was one evening in a little town called Columbus Junction, Iowa, that I was at a stock car race with a few of my buddies. And I looked up behind me, and there were three girls. So I decided I would go up and introduce these three girls and see if they would connect with us down below. And so I walked up, and I sat down with the three girls. And I come to find out that two of the three girls, their dads or fathers were Baptist pastors. Well, you know, I didn't know what Baptist Christians were all about. The only Baptist I knew was John the Baptist in the New Testament that I learned about in Sunday school. But once I found out that they were religious, I thought, well, you know, I visited the other three types of denominations. The Baptists are going to be the same. And so I just kind of excused myself. After I had a good time chatting with these three young ladies and went down to my buddies. You know, a couple of weeks later, one of the girls called me up and asked me to a youth rally. It was a rally that I believe that several of the churches in that area were having. And so I decided to go. And my motivation was the girl was pretty. I know that that was a poor motivation, but I went anyway. And at this youth rally, I noticed that these young people had something that I didn't have. Led to a lot of curiosity. So I decided to attend this young girl's church. It was a Baptist church, and her father was the pastor. I started attending. And it wasn't too long before her father had me sitting on their couch in their living room. And he opened up the scriptures, and he began to share with me what was missing in my life. And what he shared with me were the unsearchable riches that are only found through faith in Jesus Christ. He shared with me the gospel. I broke down in tears. I knew in my heart what I needed to do was believe. But I chose not to believe that night. And I said I would think about it. And I did. I left his home that night, and I continued to think about it. During that time, I was working on the Mississippi River, loading grain into barges, and part of my college practicum. I decided I'd buy a Bible. I think I had one back home, but I was living away from home, and so I went to the Christian bookstore, and I bought a Bible, a little Testament, a whole Bible, a new Old Testament and new, one that I could hide in my pocket so nobody could see me. And while I was loading grain into the barge, I would pull out the Bible. And I decided, where do you begin when you read a book? You begin at the beginning. And so while I was loading grain over the next several months, I began to read the Bible. And let me tell you, I came to the Gospels, and the Gospels gripped my heart. And it was there that I came to the realization that all that was communicated concerning Jesus' resurrection and his ascension and his lordship and his headship over this group of people called the church were true. And shortly after, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I was 19 years of age when that took place in my life. And listen, it can take place in your life. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You can come to trust Jesus Christ too. I've had the privilege over the years to lead young people to Christ, to lead older folks to Christ. You need to come to Christ yourself. You just simply need to recognize that you're a sinner. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. The Lord knew I was a sinner, that was for sure. And I came to that realization and I knew I needed a Savior. And through reading the Gospels, I realized that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of sinners. And then I realized that I needed to understand that Jesus Christ died for my sin. Oh, it's important to understand that not only was he the sacrifice for sin, but also that he was buried and that he arose again on the third day. And what an amazing reality that is. He came from the Father. He lived a perfect righteous life, something that we could never do. To be that Lamb of God that would sacrifice himself for you and for me. And Acts chapter 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Boy, that's exactly what I did. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I was saved. And then I realized that, you know, I had to confess my sin to God. And so throughout that whole process of recognizing that I was a sinner and believing that Jesus Christ is God and that he is the only Savior of sinners, I confessed my sins to God and asked Jesus Christ to save me. And he saved me in the most humble way. He saved me. And let me tell you, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. And it changed my life from that day on. Let me tell you, I am nowhere near the kind of person I was at the age of 19. Friend, if you're an unbeliever, if you're not sure about the gospel, read the gospels. And I would love you to give me a call. I'll give you my number. Area code 616-446-1929. Give me a call. I'd love to talk with you about the gospel. And I'll share it as simply as I had it shared to me. I'm just an old-fashioned pastor that found new life through faith in Christ. And I've been preaching the gospel since the day that God called me into the ministry. And I want to share the gospel with you. Brothers and sisters who are part of my congregation, I hope this has lifted you up to the power that you have in your life. Power that you don't need to access to from outside yourself. It's within you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. That power of the resurrection. That power of the ascension. That power of the lordship. That power of headship. You're a part of the body. Christ is the head. You can't separate it. It's all yours. Live it. Believe it. Honor it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amazing Grace, a song that most of you, I hope, are familiar with. We're just going to sing the first and the last stanzas in closing. A good reminder to us that God poured down all his righteousness and his power to overcome sin, even though we didn't deserve it. It's truly amazing grace. Let's sing this song together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Father, we thank you for the message from your word today. Lord, a reminder that you have not created us or desire for us to live in fear, but you have filled us with power and your love. And so may we claim that power that lives inside of us through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we go forth this week and communicate to friends and to neighbors the great gospel message that you've entrusted us with, that others may know the hope and the love that we have. We give you all the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed week.